Well, good evening. It's good to see y'all this evening here in the sanctuary. Yes, amen. Praise the Lord. Good to see the y'all online too. If you would, we're going to start out by singing 336, There is a Fountain, verses 1 through 3. Oh, okay. And stand if you can. Oh, that's great. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. Wash all my sins away, wash all my sins away. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. Dear dying lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power. Church of God, be saved to sin no more, be saved to sin no more, be saved to sin no more, till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Our next, we're going to sing He Lives, page 368.
I serve a risen Savior, He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. In all the world around me, I see His loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that He is leading through all the stormy blast. The day of His appearing will come at last. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King. The hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart.
Praise the Lord.
Lord. Amen. All right. Our next hymn is Revive Us Again, page 343. We praise Thee, O God, for the Son of Thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Revive us again. We praise Thee, O God, for Thy Spirit of light, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Revive us again. Revive us again. Fill each heart with Thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Revive us again. Praise the Lord. We're praying for one more revival, right, Pastor? Amen. All right, our last song this evening is Since Jesus Came Into My Heart, page 503. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul for which long I have sought since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart, floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart, I have ceased from my wandering and going astray. Since Jesus came into my heart, and my sins, which were many, are all washed away. Since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart, floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart, I shall go there to dwell in that city I know. Since Jesus came into my heart, and I'm happy, so happy as onward I go. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart. Praise the Lord and thank you, Jesus. Amen. Please welcome Pastor Steve to the pulpit.
Very good. All right. Oh, yeah. Okay. All right, good to see each and every one of you tonight. Those of you online, good to have you with us as well. And we just continue to go through our book study here in Exodus. But before we do that, as we study the life and times of Moses, before we do that, we do want to take some time to see if we have any praises. Any praises? Amen, that's praise. Brother John's here. Very good. One more day, amen. On the green side of the grass. I'm alive and well. Amen. Praises. Good to be alive. Amen. What else? Other praises tonight. Anybody else? No? Fall break, is that a praise? Fall break is a praise. All right. Very good. What? Yes. Uh-huh. Yes. Okay. Oh, had an aortic aneurysm and lived to tell about it. Oh, my goodness. Is this a retired fireman? Earl Manning. Glenn Tyler. Yeah. Okay. Cyprus. Okay. Oh, my. Oh, wow. Yeah. Right. Right. Oh, golly, he's a young guy. Survived aortic aneurysm. That is a praise. That normally doesn't happen. Wow, amen. Amen. How old's Paul McCormick? 76. Going to be 77. 76. And Kenneth is how old? He's 80? 85? No, 84. He's 80. Hey, he's jumping on up there. Okay. Oh, she heard that. 84, Miss Bicky, 84. 84, 80, 83, how about 83? Go 82, 82, 81 going. All right, amen. Okay, well, got a praise on, I guess, Brother Paul. He had to go back to the ER, had an irregular EKG or some kind of heart thing. So the doctor said, you know, go to the ER, but they got all that straightened out. So he's not staying in the hospital, so he's been released. So Paul McCormick is back home. That all happened today. Yep, that all happened today. It's afternoon. 3-something. So, all right, so Brother Paul, Glenn Tyler survived aortic aneurysm, fall break. Good to be alive. Any other praises? Yeah, what you got, Bobby? Yeah, Bobby's granddaughter. Uh-huh. Ooh. Okay, 4 pounds what? 4 pounds what? Whoo, that's a little bitty guy. Okay. All right, born today. 17 inches. What's her name? Elliot Gill. That's a pretty name. Elliot Gill. All right. Good, good, good. Other praises? Anybody else? All right. Prayer requests. Anybody got a prayer request? Yes, ma'am. Okay. All right. What else? What else? Anything else? Yes. Okay, yeah. Nation and election and Supreme Court nominee confirmation. Young Trev already voted. Show him that sticker, son. Oh, way to go, Maddie. Way to go. Mom's going to vote tomorrow morning, and then I'm planning on voting next Monday. So I'm letting all the radicals get their vote in now. You know, all them people want to hit them polls this week, be part of history and all that stuff. Go get them, man. I'll show up following Monday. When they go from what, 12 to 8? Right now it's 7 to 7. It's 8 to 5 right now. Oh, next week goes early. Okay. Depending on where you go. Okay. So, oh, you're Montgomery County. We're Harris. So, yeah. Yeah. I'm in the communist county up here. All right, or the socialist county, whatever you want to call it. No, Harris County is still a good county. Maybe Harris County will flip back red. Who knows? Could happen. Could happen. Huh? Yeah. It's pretty red where I'm living. There's Trump Pence signs. Red Republican, right? Am I getting that right? There's Trump Pence signs everywhere. On my street and down Zion. I think Tomball's pretty Republican. Yeah, I know it. Well, but you watch the media, man, and you watch the media tell it. It's like everybody's voting for Biden. It's amazing how they spin it. You know, that's one thing. You know, the president has certainly made no bones about going after the media. I hope they don't have the last laugh. I hope he gets the last laugh. It'll be a miracle if it pans out and he's reelected for a second term. But God's in the business of doing miracles, and I'll have to do my happy dance in front of the TV, and I always point to the liberal media, and I go, "How does saying that taste in your mouth?" And then I have to go to the Lord in prayer, you know, after I get ready. Yeah. 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 Amen. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Right. Amen. Right, right. Well, I'm a platform party guy, so as long as the Republican Party is protecting life in the womb, I'll be a lifelong Republican. They'd have to do some crazy stuff to get me. And there'd be no way I could go the donkey side, but I'd have to go independent is what I'd have to go. But anyway, all right, we're going to pray for our nation, the election, and Supreme Court nominee confirmation, all that stuff. But what else? Anything else? Prayers? Requests? Yeah, amen. Students out of school. Don't be bringing no cooties back to school. Students on break. All right. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer and lift these up. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, Lord, and we thank you for the blessed opportunity to gather tonight in your name, and Lord, to be in your word, to sing praises to your name. We do praise you, Lord, and we do love you, and we do thank you for all the many blessings that you give us, Lord. And Father God, we're just thankful for all that you do for us, how you've saved us, your shed blood that covers our sin. Lord, we're thankful for the second chances and the forgiveness that we find whenever we confess our sins and repent from our sins, Lord, and turn from those things and seek again to do your will and to do your word. And Lord, we're just thankful that you take us back. And that, Lord, you clean us up, and, Lord, you set us back on a right path, on a right foot. Lord, as we come to you tonight, we just lift up these praises to you. It is good to be alive, Lord. We're thankful for life, and we're thankful for family. We're thankful for church family, and we're thankful for our marriages, Lord, and our kids and our grandkids, those that have them, and all that stuff, Lord. We just praise you and thank you for that. We are thankful for fall break, for our school. Your school, Lord, this Christian school here next door, we're thankful for this ministry of New Hope Baptist Church. And, Lord, we're thankful for these teachers. We're thankful that they get a, Lord, they've been on a week to just kind of rejuvenate and recharge. And, Lord, just get ready for the push to Christmas and then on from there. And, Lord, we do praise you that Glenn Tyler is doing some better. He's got a long road ahead of him in recovery, Lord, but we're thankful that you've spared his life from this aortic aneurysm. And Lord, we just pray that each and every day he gets a little better. Each and every day he regains, Lord, it may be a small part, but he regains a small part of his strength and stamina. And Lord, we pray you just bring that aorta back together, the mesh, Lord, that they put in there, just all kind of heal up. And Lord, it'd be as good as new aorta for him. And Lord, he wouldn't have any more problems, no tears, no more aneurysms. And Lord, he'd just get on back down the road, living his life. We thank you for his 55 years. And we pray for many, many more for Glenn Tyler. Thank you for his ministry with the builders, with the Christian builders, Lord. And we pray that he's able to go again one day soon. Lord, we lift up Paul McCormick, and we praise you and thank you for his, Lord, release from the ER today. And thankful that that wasn't anything serious, Lord. We just pray that that pacemaker and his heart would just work together and work in sync, and Lord, his EKGs would be normal, and Lord, the AFib would be under control, and all of that stuff that's going on, Lord. We just pray each and every day, Brother Paul, get a little bit better, get a little bit stronger, get a little more stamina, Lord. We just pray for him. Watch over Miss Pat. She takes care of him, Lord. We pray you protect their home during this time. But we do praise you that he did not have to stay in the hospital tonight. Lord, we lift up Bobby's little granddaughter, little Elliot Gell. We're thankful for this young lady having her first birthday. And Lord, we just pray that you would raise this child in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. We pray now for her salvation. We just pray that in advance. And Lord, as she comes and reaches the age of accountability, Lord, and she understands what sin is, and Lord, she understands what grace is, she understands what the great gift of Jesus is, Lord, I pray that one day her heart would be ready to receive you as personal Savior, Lord. But Lord, we're thankful for her birthday, and we're thankful that Mama and baby are doing fine. We pray you put some weight on her, and Lord, here in a couple weeks, she is on her way, gaining that weight. Thank you for her. Lord, we do lift up Brother Bill T. tonight as he gets ready to go to this oncologist appointment to discuss further treatment options for this lung cancer. We pray there's no lung cancer there, Lord, that the radiation that he's received has taken care of it. But Lord, if there is, we just pray you give him wisdom and give the doctors wisdom. And Lord, we pray they come up with the best treatment plan for Brother Bill. And Lord, we just thankful for his life, his testimony, his salvation, and his service to the church. Lord, we pray you would honor him with a good appointment tomorrow. And Lord, just give him what he needs to get through that. Be with Miss Karen as she takes him. We pray for safety as they drive and travel. And Lord, we pray that you bring them home safely from that. Lord, we do lift up our nation. Lord, we pray your sovereign hand upon it. We lift up this election. We pray for your perfect will in the midst of everything going on. And Lord, we do pray for this Supreme Court nominee. We pray for her impending confirmation. And Lord, I just pray that it would happen as they predict a week before the election. Lord, I just praise you and thank you for her conservative stand, her conservative heart. And Lord, I pray that this would be a turning point, or the beginning of a turning point, in these United States of America to have a conservative court. It's been a long, long time. Lord, we just pray that it would come to fruition. So many people have prayed, and Lord, it would be a tremendous answer to prayer. Lord, we do lift up our students to you tonight, and as they are on fall break, we pray you keep them safe, pray you keep them COVID-free, pray you keep them practicing good COVID practices, Lord, and washing hands and germ-exing and hand sanitizing and not touching their eyes, face, all that stuff, Lord. Just keep them healthy and ready to come back this coming Monday as they get ready to start back for their next block, their next semester. Lord, we thank you for tonight. Be with us as we go through this time of study in the book of Exodus. We praise you and we love you. For the law, we thank you for it. Help us have a better understanding about it. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. All right, well, let's look at God's word tonight. You don't have to stand in honor of the reading of it tonight. I'm going to read kind of a lengthy passage. But we're going to kind of get the flavor of it here as we... It's our last Bible study on the civil law. And I know that's probably breaking a lot of people's heart out there. You mean you're not going to do any more Bible studies? Nope, not going to do any more Bible studies on the civil law. This will be the last one, the end. And that's simply the title of the message. It's not the end of the study on the life of Moses or the end of the study on the book of Exodus, but it is the end of the study on this civil law, the end, right? So what have we already covered? Well, we have covered Hebrew slaves. We have covered personal injury. We have covered personal property. And we have covered, you just kind of touched on it, sexual and civic morality. That was 22 verses 16 through 31. Tonight we seek to cover Sabbaths and festivals. Everybody knows what Sabbath is, right? What day is the Sabbath? Saturday. We're in the New Testament, so now we kind of have a Christian Sabbath, which is a Sunday, right? It's kind of flipped a little bit, but that's all right. The Sabbaths and festivals. The passage I want us to look at is Exodus chapter 23. Exodus chapter 23. And we'll pick it up here in verse 1. 23, we'll pick it up in verse 1, and we'll take it on all the way down to verse 19. So the Word of God reads, "You shall not bear a false report. Do not join your hand with a wicked man to be a malicious witness. You shall not follow the masses in doing evil, nor shall you testify in a dispute so as to turn aside after a multitude in order to pervert justice. Nor shall you be partial to a poor man in his dispute. If you meet your enemy's ox or his donkey wandering away, you shall surely return it to him. If you see the donkey of one who hates you lying helpless under its load, you shall refrain from leaving it to him. You shall surely release it with him. You shall not pervert the justice due to your needy brother in his dispute. Keep far from a false charge and do not kill the innocent or the righteous, for I will not acquit the guilty. You shall not take a bribe, for a bribe blinds the clear-sighted and subverts the cause of the just. You shall not oppose a stranger, since you yourselves know the feelings of a stranger, for you also were strangers in the land of Egypt." I love that verse because it talks about the feelings, right? Sometimes we think of God in such sterile terms that he's here and we're down here and, you know, he's got so much going on. Man, he cares even about our feelings, right? "You know the feelings of a stranger, for you also were strangers in the land of Egypt." Verse 10, talking about the Sabbath and the land. "You shall sow your land for 6 years and gather in its yield, but on the seventh year you shall let it rest and lie fallow so that the needy of your people may eat, and whatever they leave, the beast of the field may eat. You are to do the same with your vineyard and your olive grove. 6 days you are to do your work, but on the seventh day you shall cease from labor, so that your ox and your donkey may rest, and the son of your female slave, as well as your stranger, may refresh themselves. Now concerning everything which I have said to you, be on your guard, and do not mention the name of other gods, nor let them be heard from your mouth." Verse 14, "Three times a year you shall celebrate a feast to me. You shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. For 7 days you are to eat unleavened bread, as I commanded you at the appointed time in the month of Abib, for in it you came out of Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty-handed. Also you shall observe the feast of the harvest of the first fruits of your labors from what you sow in the field. Also the feast of the ingathering at the end of the year when you gather in the fruit of your labors from the field. 3 times a year all your males shall appear before the Lord God. You shall not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leavened bread, nor is the fat of my feast to remain overnight until morning." Verse 19, "You shall bring the choice first fruits of your soil into the house of the Lord your God. You are not to boil a young goat in the milk of its mother." Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the reading of your word tonight. And Lord, may our hearts be open to receive it. We thank you and praise you for it. It's in your name we pray. Amen. As we think about Sabbaths and festivals, chapter 23, verses 1 through 9, what does it do? It outlines laws concerning justice in the courts, right? Got to have justice. Got to be fair. Justice, right? Bribes were common in the ancient Near East, especially when it came to courts and laws and upholding these. And what does the passage tell us? What is the flavor we get out of 23, 1 through 9? We get that bribes pervert justice and should be rejected. All the other statements in Exodus 23 have to do with laws concerning the Sabbath and Jewish festivals. The Sabbath laws and festivals are described where? Well, the next section we read in Exodus chapter 23, verses 10 through 19. Now, we read that, and we might think, well, you know, Pastor, doesn't that belong? I mean, that kind of seems like ceremonial law. Shouldn't that go with the ceremonial law? I mean, isn't that like Leviticus? Shouldn't we find that in Leviticus? And this stuff that we just read is going to be repeated in somewhat of a form according to the book of Leviticus. It's going to be in there. They are repeated later. However, the Sabbath laws and festivals are also included here because they concern justice, justice for the land, justice for animals, and justice even for God. Justice even for God. See, when it came to the Sabbath rest, God was not just concerned about the people. We need to have a Sabbath, right? We need to have a Sabbath. One day a week, you need to slow down, cool your jets, rest a little bit, right? We need to have a Sabbath. But not only do we need to have a Sabbath, animals, beasts of burden need to have a Sabbath, right? When it came to Sabbath rest, God was not just concerned about the people. The weekly Sabbath allowed their oxen and their donkeys, these beasts of burdens, to rest as well. And the Sabbath was not just for the Israelites. No, it's for everybody. Under these prohibitions, the slaves and aliens were to also rest and be refreshed. There's something like a good Sunday rest. Amen? Those of you that get a Sunday nap, I get a Sunday nap every now and then. Not every Sunday. I do get a Sunday nap every now and then. There's something about taking a nap on Sunday and then spending time with family, then to church, right? And then going to bed early. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. Right? And then you're ready for what? You're ready for the week. You're ready for Monday, right? Don't go crazy on the Sabbath. Rest. Take your rest, right? Not just for the Israelites. It's for everybody. Everybody agree with that? Those of you online, hope you can chime in and agree with that. Sabbath is for everyone. And just as a slave was not to be worked without any hope of eventual release, so the land, we think about the land, was not to be worked without a break. I mean, where does the land come from? It comes from God. Why do we have it? Because He's given it to us. I mean, we think about our country and our nation, a nation founded under the principles of God's Word. I mean, it's a gift from God, right? These people are going to get the promised land here in the future. I mean, the land, God's land, His provision, is not to be worked without a break. The land was to be given not just a day, but it was to be given a year-long Sabbath rest every seventh year in order to recover its vitality. And that's a good way to farm, right? That's a good way to farm. I think in days gone by, that's kind of how they farmed, you know, here in America. You know, they would, maybe not every seven, maybe every fourth year, they would let the land go fallow, but maybe they wouldn't let it go fallow the whole year, but just for the season. So probably averaged out to a year every seven. It's a good way to farm. But the people, you know what the people did? You know what the people did? What the people eventually did when they got the promised land? They did not follow the Sabbath rest for the land. They didn't do it. I mean, they said they were going to do it, and they started out doing it, but they thought, you know, we can make a little extra if we just push the land another year. And then we're back on the rotation of 6 years. So they milked the land for all it was worth. And what did they end up doing? They ended up impoverishing the land. The land just like you. The land just like the donkey. The land just like the oxen. Everybody, everything's got to have a what? It's got to have a rest, friend. It's got to have a rest. 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verse 21. 2 Chronicles 36, verse 21 implies that the 70 years of the Babylonian captivity were to make up the Sabbath years that the people had not given their land. That was part of their consequences. That was part of their punishment, so to speak, was that the land could get its rest. 2 Chronicles 36, 21 says, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed its Sabbaths. All the days of its desolation, it kept Sabbath until 70 years were complete. God said, I said, the land needs a Sabbath, and you folks have taken advantage of the land, so the land is going to get its Sabbath. And so the question is, God took this command to rest the land. Did he take it serious? Yeah, he took it very serious. These laws that we have gone through, this civil law that is in conjunction with the Ten Commandments, these laws look ahead to what? They look ahead to a time when the Jews, when the Israelites, are going to actually have possession of the land. Now, when these laws were given to Moses, the people were still where? Still in the wilderness. They don't have the land yet. They did not have the land yet to let the land rest for the Sabbath year. They hadn't got there. These laws were for the future. They were forward-looking, which is why they also include the Feast of Unleavened Bread and the Feast of the Harvest and the Feast of Ingathering, the Feast of the Harvest of First Fruits. Now, the very last of these laws is one of the most puzzling. 23:19. Look at the second half of that verse. You are not to boil a young goat in the milk of its mother. Now, that kind of sounds bizarre just reading it, right? Right? Scholars have many opinions about the reason for this prohibition. I think one time I'd heard, you know, you shouldn't have milk with your steak. You know, that was a no-no. Don't drink milk with your steak. It causes upset stomach or something like that. I've never done that. That's never sounded appetizing to me, to drink milk with a steak cooked medium or medium rare, something like that. That's just never done it for me. But anyway, the general wisdom today is that boiling sacrificial goats in their mother's milk or other animals in their mother's milk was a common ritualistic practice of the Canaanites. You remember the Canaanites. We've studied them a time or two through the years. Canaanites, very pagan people, very polytheistic, worshiping many gods, really way out there in some of their beliefs, really kind of off into worshiping Satan, shall we say. I mean, the Canaanites were pretty rough, pretty bad group. So the warnings in 23:19b, the warning's religious function then meant that the Israelites were not to repeat any kind of a practice that might resemble a pagan ritual. And even today, Orthodox Jews do not serve meat and milk-based dishes at the same meal. They just don't do it, right? What are they doing? They're trying to be careful to maintain the Old Testament mandated separation. Now, that gets us all the way through 23 verses 1 through 19. We get all the way here to chapter 24. We're not going to really look at verses 20 through 33, but we get to all the way to chapter 24. And what do we find in chapter 24? We find the confirming of the covenant. The covenant is confirmed in chapter 24. Chapter 24 presents God's promise to be with the people in the conquest yet to come. We said this is future looking. Chapter 24 also reports how the offering of sacrifices and the sprinkling of blood ratified the covenant between God and the people, which is a future looking to what? It's a future looking to Jesus Christ. It's a future looking of the perfect sacrifice, the sprinkling of blood there, or the shedding of blood, the covering of sin. So you see another forward-looking thing to Jesus Christ, to His coming, to His ministry, to His death, burial, and resurrection, all of that. Good stuff, right? Chapter 24. When we look at it, during this occasion, Moses read the law, which he had written down overnight. Now, certainly he had been thinking about this. The Holy Spirit had been working him over on this. Moses, intelligent guy, articulate man, and so he had written this down overnight, and the people said that they would do what? That they would obey, that they would obey in everything. Now look at verse 7, we see that, 24 verse 7. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people, and they said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do, and we will be obedient. Right? We will be obedient. Now, at the time, they did what? They meant, they were sincere, they meant their pledge. But as we've already discussed, when it came to wresting the land, they too soon failed in keeping their obedience. Now, we can't be judgmental with these folks. We're the same way. I mean, we're the same way. You and I, we will say to God, or we will say to somebody, or we will testify, or whatever it may be, we will say that we will obey. We're going to obey. We're going to do the right thing. We're going to turn. We're going to make the right step. We're going to get on the right road. We're going to go God's way. Now, sometimes we do. Sometimes we don't. Sometimes, too often times, we do not, right? Praise God for His grace and His forgiveness. See, knowing the law, and we need to know the law. You need to have a good handle of it. Knowing the Word of God, you need to have a good handle of it. Knowing the law does not guarantee that we're going to keep the law. Knowing the New Testament does not guarantee that we're going to keep it. That's why we need grace. That's why we need a God of grace. That's why we need mercy. That's why we need forgiveness. As we experience forgiveness, after we've confessed and repented our sins, as we experience forgiveness and make another attempt to obey the law, praise God, we get another attempt, right? Praise God, we get another day. Praise God, we have another opportunity. So what can we say about these folks confirming the covenant and, you know, saying they're going to do it and then, you know, kind of falling short? Understanding the law, that took some time. That took some years. Understanding the New Testament takes some time, takes some years. I mean, we're looking at the mind of God here. We're looking at the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're thinking about this grand love letter. It takes anybody some time to get a proper handle on it. So, how do they do it? Well, let's look at 24, 9 through 10. This is kind of where it starts and gets going. 24, 9 through 10, it says, then Moses went up with Aaron. Chapter 24, 9 and 10. Then Moses went up with Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. And they saw the God of Israel, and under his feet there appeared to be a pavement of sapphire, as clear as the sky itself. Now, that's a powerful vision that goes on here, starting 24 about verse 9 and continues on several verses later. In a glorious vision, they saw a sea of glass like sapphire, clear as the sky, the Word of God says. This time of worship must have been what? Amazing to them to experience this kind of vision together, to be together and experience that. Must have been an amazing moment for them. So did this epiphany, so to speak, did this help them so that they could understand the law? Practicing, attempting to obey the law, did they come to understand the law this way? Well, as we study on and go through the book of Exodus and get on further down in the Old Testament, some that day that went through that vision may have thought or said to themselves, we've had this marvelous, incredible vision of the glory of God. And that, my brothers, let's come together and hug it out. Let's praise it out. Let's sing it out. That, my brothers, is going to keep us going all our lives. In actuality, the emotions of the moment dwindled, as the emotions of the moment always do. The emotions of the vision wore off, and the practicing of the Word of God had to be obeyed. You cannot feel yourself. You You can't pump yourself up to obedience. You just have to what? You have to obey. You have to practice the Word of God. You have to get to the point where you've grown in your discipleship and your relationship and your trust and your faith with the Lord that you simply obey. Obey for obedience's sake, right? Not necessarily because you get a huge big feeling out of it. You just do it because it's the Word of God, and that's what God has commanded you to do. That's what He's told you to do. And He is our Lord. He is our Savior. He is our Master. Amen? He's our Heavenly Father. So, as we think about all this here in the church age, because that's where we're at, how close are we to the second advent? We got to be close. I don't know how close. Nobody really knows. Nobody can know. The Bible says nobody will know the actual time, right? But for us here in the church age, one day we will experience not a vision, but a reality of God's glory. These folks experienced a vision of God's glory, but one day we're going to experience the reality of God's glory. And when I study these visions, it always reminds me of what we're going to get to see one day. It's going to be awesome. We're going to get to experience the very physical, real presence, the reality of the person of Jesus Christ. That day's coming. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John 3, verses 2. First John chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 through 3. The Word of God reads this in 1 John 3, verses 2 through 3. It says, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when He appears, we will be like Him, because we will see Him just as He is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on Him purifies himself just as He is pure. We know that when He appears, we will be like Him, because we will see Him just as He is." That's going to be glorious. So how can we wrap this up and put a bow on it? Well, you know, we're talking about the civil law, and here we are in the midst of this political season, and elections getting ready to happen. What is it, November the 3rd? November the 3rd? And November the 3rd falls on that's what they call it, Super Tuesday. Is that what they call it, Super Tuesday? That's got to be why. Yeah. So, as we close tonight, let us not be, I'm about out of battery. I may go flat here, Brother Jeremiah. As we close tonight, let us not be afraid of the upcoming election. We cannot be afraid, right? We cannot let people that we know, especially younger folks, we cannot let folks see us fearful about the election. We do not need to be afraid for the upcoming election. Early voting has already set a record in many parts of the country. They're talking about over 12 million people have already voted, right? Now, what are we to do? Keep your head up. We to be prayerful. We to be faithful. We're not giving up. Church ain't giving up. We are to not lose heart. Two passages of Scripture I want to leave with you as we close. John 14:27, the Word of God reads, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives to you." No, or not as the world gives, do I give to you. "Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." Okay? Colossians 3:15-16 says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful." All right? Now, remember, you got to remember this. If you put your focus, listen to me online there, if you put your eyes and your focus anywhere else besides Jesus, you will eventually be disappointed. It's coming. You keep your eyes on Jesus, you walk in the Word of God, and you get on your knees in prayer, and friend, disappointment be few and far between in your life. But you focus on a political party, you focus on a candidate, you focus on a man more than Jesus, more than Christ, then eventually you're going to be disappointed. And ultimately, remember that God is sovereign. He knows, has known, and will know exactly what is going on in this election cycle. He knows. Romans 13:1 says, every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities. Election doesn't turn out the way we thought it was going to turn out. We're still under subjection under the governing authorities. They don't tell you to do anything against the Word of God. They tell you to pay taxes. We're going to pay taxes. We may not like how much it is. We're going to pay taxes, right? We're going to pray for the president, whoever that may be. We're going to pray for the government, whatever that may be, right? Every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities. This is the Word of God, not Pastor Steve, Romans 13:1. For there is no authority except from God, I'm reading 13:1, and those which exist are established by God. That's why I keep praying for God's perfect will. Perfect will. I know who I'm voting for. Voting straight up Republican ticket. That's how I vote. But I'm praying for God's perfect will. Because the outcome is way above my pay grade. But He's got this thing under control. You rest in Romans 13:1. You rest in Colossians 3:15-16. You rest in John 14:27. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on the Word. Keep your hands together in prayer. We're going to make it through. We're going to make it through. Friend, we made it through 8 years of Obama. We made it through 8 years of Clinton. We can make it. I'm telling you. We can. God's going to see us through. Amen? Nothing for the church. Ain't nothing for a stepper. Ain't nothing for the church of the living God. They're not going to shut these doors. They're not going to shut our mouths. We're just going to keep on keeping on. Amen? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to You tonight, Lord. We thank You again for Your Word. We thank You for these folks that have come out tonight. We pray, Lord, for those that wanted to be here that couldn't be here, Lord. But we're thankful that we're able to live stream for folks that, Lord, perhaps ran out of time of getting down here, Lord, or just needed to do something else, and they're going to be watching this later this evening, Lord, or maybe even watching it tomorrow morning. I don't know. But, Lord, we're thankful for all those that were a part here in person and for all those that will be a part and have been a part on the live stream and online. Lord, thank You for Your love. Thank You for Your grace. We do pray, Lord, for our country. And, Lord, we continue to pray for our first responders. We pray for our health care providers. We pray for our doctors and nurses, Lord, for our men and women in blue. We pray for our military, Lord. We pray You protect them. Protect them from the COVID. Protect them from the virus. Protect them from unnecessary violence. And, Lord, we just pray You watch over them. Lord, see us through. We pray that in the midst of this election, whatever the outcome is, that this country would not be split into any kind of civil division, that, Lord, we would recoup, have peace, and, Lord, we would just get it together for the next cycle. And, Lord, we'd be ready to vote there. I am thankful, Lord, that there's a huge turnout of people making their voice be known, even though some I don't agree with. But, Lord, it is an awesome thing to get to vote and to have a voice. Thank You for that. Thank You for the country that we live in. Thank You for the process. Hopefully, I pray it be a peaceful process this election cycle. It's in Your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. Yes, sir. Yeah. Oh, my. Oh, my goodness. Where was this? Where was it? Oh, my goodness. Did the baby live? Oh, the baby didn't live. Yes. Amen. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to You tonight. We do pray for this family that's been brought to my attention, Lord, this accident today, and Lord, the little baby drowning. And Lord, we just pray for that family. We pray your comforting grace and mercy upon them. And Lord, help them deal with the loss. And Lord, we pray for their family as they come together. Lord, we pray if they do not know Christ, that through this tremendous, heart-wrenching loss, that Lord, there would be seeds of salvation sown. And Lord, you might bring some beauty out of these ashes. Lord, we pray for the people that were hit by the ambulance and attempting to rescue the baby and get the baby to the hospital. We pray for those folks that were injured and had to be transported to the hospital as well in ambulances. And Lord, we pray for their healing. And Lord, we pray that in the midst of all this pain and suffering, there might be a testimony of Christ and there might be a miracle of healing in the lives of these people that have been injured. Lord, we just bathe this situation in prayer. And Lord, you know exactly who we're talking about. Lord, we pray that you would take our intercession tonight and you would make intercession as well at the right hand of the Father. Thank you, Lord, for hearing us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you folks are dismissed.